Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I'm so excited about our guest, and she's so excited. Introduce her so she can talk.
All right, I'll get right to that. Well, she's a writer, performer. You know her from The Good Place, Brews Brothers, and American Princess. It's Ellie Wood.
Yay! That's Mark. Hello, and you said it right.
Thank you. It's controversial, I know, but it's pronounced Woods.
Yes. Thank you.
It's plural.
People have a hard time with it.
Mm-hmm. Has that been an issue for you?
Oh, I mean, what? Sure, but no, like, who cares, you know? But it is my name, but, you know, so it, you know, so I've thought about changing it a lot. And the third movie's coming out soon, so I'm thinking about changing it to go, fuck me. That could just be my new name, but.
But then there'll be a movie of that, of starring Reese
Witherspoon.
Exactly. You know, she plays Go Fuck Me.
Is it the name they're after, or are they just trying to take my identity? I don't know.
We'll never know. Is that character, the Legally Blonde character, though, is Elle.
Elle Woods. Hence the confusion.
How do we ever get to the bottom of this?
And truth be told, my name is Eleanor.
Really?
I love that name.
Eleanore, really, because there's an E on the end, although nobody's ever said that. But so I could just do that, but it's like, that's not who I've been.
That's not who you are.
Mm-hmm. It's not who I'm gonna be. I might.
That feels like a midlife pivot.
I think so.
I'm not Ella anymore. I'm Eleanore. And I'll be like, okay, Eleanore has arrived.
Riding a baby elephant.
Yes. I think I probably have to go through Nore first and Elia, you know?
Sure. Your mystical phase.
After you.
Start that right now, actually.
Great. You made my mask that I've been using all the time. How is the mask making going?
Well, it's...
If you want to talk, can we talk about the mask making?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very proud to be making masks right now. It's constant mask making, doing it all the time. I really like making masks when for people who like ask for something specific. And then I really like when I feel like I've perfectly accomplished what people asked for. Now, Mark, I'm not exactly sure if we hit the brief, but we really tried hard. We tried really hard.
What was the assignment?
The prompt?
1950s log cabin.
1950s log cabin. So okay.
Also, yours was an earlier version, and I've since figured out how to make them better for people's faces. So yours might be like a little small or like thick.
Well, I have a big head, but it loosened up over time. So now it fits very comfortably.
There you go.
And that's, I had another mask that only lasted a month, but this one's lasted like 2-3 months now.
Hell yeah. That's because it's heavily quilted.
It's heavily quilted and reversible.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That's functionality right there.
I do pride myself on the functionality of my masks. I have invented, I mean, God, I don't want to talk about masks this whole time, but
No.
I've invented something, which is that my masks have straw holes on them, which is not the invention, but the fact that I've created a system where a magnet closes a rivet. And so it closes kind of automatically. That is new. And that's
fun.
Innovation.
Can you patent that?
Well, my mom is a patent lawyer, so I've been trying to figure out like whether I should talk to her about it. But
you're an ideal situation to have that patent.
I know, right. But I actually think like my mom's going to say like, what would you, I know enough about patent stuff to think that you actually wouldn't be able to patent that.
Oh. Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Because I'd have to be patenting magnets closing rivets. And I don't think that's like something you could patent.
Patenting a zipper kind of thing.
It's patenting magnet. It's basically patenting what a magnet already does. So anyway.
Well, this has been patent talk.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, let's check out.
With Nora Woods. Thank you.
Mugs.
Well, speaking of patent leather shoes, maybe. We're talking about Strictly Ballroom today. John, what's the deal with Strictly Ballroom?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Strictly Ballroom. Strictly Ballroom came out in 1992. It's from Australia, romantic comedy directed and co-written by Baz Luhrmann, which is based on a critically acclaimed stage play that happened in 1984 when Luhrmann and fellow students while he was studying at the National Institute of Dramatic Arts in Sydney. Tells the story of a maverick dancer who risks his career by performing an unusual routine and sets out to succeed with a new partner. It stars Paul Mercurio, Tara Maurice, Bill Hunter, and Pat Thompson. It was Baz Luhrmann's directorial debut and the first of what people refer to as his Red Curtain trilogy, which also includes Romeo and Juliet and Moulin Rouge. And I don't know how much it made, but I know it is one of the most successful movies to come out from Australia. So there you go. That is the deal with Strictly Ballroom.
So Ellie, we asked you to pick a movie. Why Strictly Ballroom?
Well, I picked Strictly Ballroom because I'm a really big fan of the movie. And I definitely regretted choosing it after I chose it. I was like, oh, I should have chosen. I thought more about the show and I was like, I should have chosen something that would clearly win. And I was like mad that I did that. But then, you know, I thought more about it and I think it's going to do well. I think it's okay. Really going to hit some of the categories that a lot of movies don't get the chance to hit.
So you're here to like place high in the ranking.
Well, I'm actually
here with a mission.
No, I'm here too. Represent the movie truthfully.
Okay.
And talk about one of my favorite movies on one of my favorite podcasts. With two people I kind of like.
Well, that's a wonder. How many times have you seen Strictly Ballroom, would you say? How many times have you seen it?
I've seen it maybe 10 times.
Okay, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I handle it also as just like a first movie for somebody. It's like the best Baz Luhrmann. I never say his name right, but that's his best movie to me.
You never saw Australia?
That's the one of his movies I didn't see.
You're not missing much.
Isn't it like 4 hours?
No, it's however long it is, it's too long, but it's not 4 hours. So you're a passionate fan and you want it to do well. I love that. John, what's your history with Strictly Ballroom?
I love it. I think I saw it when it first came out and I love it. I've been a huge fan of it. This is actually one of those movies where if you said at the last minute, oh, can we switch it and do Strictly Ballroom? I could be like, I can do it without rewatching Strictly Ballroom. Like I was like, I know it enough that I feel like I could do well. But it's a movie that I actually do love. I agree. I think it's Baz Luhrmann's best movie by far. I think it really achieves something very sweet and weird in being like so like cartoonish and so over the top, and yet like it hits the real honest emotional moments so well and so deftly that it's like I'm very impressed by this movie. But I am definitely like a huge fan of this movie. I think it's great. How about you, Mark? What is your history with Strictly Ballroom?
Well, I remember renting it on video when it first came out. And I was VHS.
What's that?
Oh boy. Like, come up to Grandpa's porch. Let me tell you the days of going to Hollywood Video. I remember being underwhelmed by it, but, and so I never rewatched it. But I have since grown to, I love Moulin Rouge. I think Moulin Rouge is a delightful time in the movies, which I saw the summer I came out of the closet. Oh, so I was thinking that, oh, well, let me, now that I have a, you know, a stick out of my ass and something else in it, let me try Strictly Ballroom again.
Strictly Ballroom.
Strictly Ballroom. Mm-hmm. Strictly Balls Deep.
Then, there's some more ballroom for that movie.
What I'm saying. And it turns out it wasn't me. It's the movie. I just am not a big fan of this movie for whatever reason. I am going to be the odd man out here, and that is fine. I think it's beautiful. I think he sets out exactly what he tried to do. I think I like the visuals of it. I like the dance sequence. I just don't care. I don't like the two leads. I think they fall flat for me. And but I appreciate the garishness of it. It just kind of hits me as a little shrill. So that's how I feel about Strictly Ballroom.
We all understand how opinions work, Mark.
It's okay. I just want to make sure it's nothing personal, John.
Okay.
Can I just say that, John, I love that you also like this movie best out of his movies, because I think it's something that you'll appreciate. It's a perfect use of what happens when you give an artist too much money, which is the rest of his movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't he like the metaphor is like he is the main guy. He's the one who's always like, I'm going to break the rules. I'm going to do too much. I'm going to do the audience pleaser. Like that is who Baz Luhrmann is. Paul Mercurio's
that's his aesthetic.
You know?
Is like the super extra.
Too much.
Yeah.
And it was fun to see that in like his first movie as well. Like, oh, yep. His voice was pretty well defined. Mm-hmm. So Ellie, as you may or may not know, but I think you do, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. So we're going to go through a bunch of categories, and at a certain point you will add a category and it could become
canon.
All right. So we're going to, this is where our top five is standing right now. These are the current rankings for the top five gayest movies ever. Number five was 76.50%, Cats. Number four was 76.52%, Funny Girl. Number three was 78.59%, Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born. Number two with a 79.51%, Grease 2. And our new current champion, number one, with a 94.83%, John Waters' Female Trouble.
Oh.
So, but there's a big gap between Grease 2, which was number 2 with 79.51, and Female Trouble with the 94.83. There's like a 15-point spread there. Maybe you could squeeze in.
You can get in the top 5, I think.
You could maybe get in the top 5.
I just think that, like, Female Trouble is such a shoe-in. How, you know, who picked
that? Cha-cha heel in.
They came to win.
Yeah.
You know, but also like that's not wrong, you know, they're totally correct. Yeah. No one did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Everyone else could have chosen it.
You're right. I was blaming them.
Okay. You were blaming the guests.
I was saying that's cheating.
To bring in a better movie.
To bring in John Waters.
Yeah.
How dare
to
you?
A gay movie competition. Fair.
No, I call no.
Like they bring a knife, you bring a gun. They bring Grease too, you bring Female Trouble. All right, so let's get into our first category. We're all going to score it out of, for this round of categories, we're all going to score it out of 100, then we take the average. And our first category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Strictly Ballroom?
Well, I'm going to start off and say that I don't think Strictly Ballroom is very homoerotic.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There's actually no mention of any gay person in the movie, I'm pretty sure.
It's never
not
like
really,
explicit.
No.
It's inferred.
There's a one point near the end where Barry Fife calls Les a faggot.
Oh.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Representation.
Right.
Thank you.
I felt seen. Yeah.
So if you find degradation erotic, then sure, there's a little bit of that.
Depending on the night.
That's true.
So I will say, although the movie is about unexpressed desires and wanting to be your own thing in a world that says you can't. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to make a case for it, I could say that. But I'm going to give it like a 10.
A 10. Tough but fair.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go. There was like a moment where Les and Scott were sort of dancing, but Les was like yelling at Scott. And then there was like the girls who all danced together because there weren't enough male partners.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like erotic to that though.
Well, I mean, who knows? I'll give it a 12.
12. Wow. I'm going to give it an 8. There wasn't really anything for me. Give it an average of 10.
All righty.
Just below Funny Girl, a movie made 40 years earlier. All right, next.
That did very well in the end. So
it's certainly true.
Starting low doesn't mean there's not anywhere to go.
That's exactly right. Look at the box office returns for Home Alone. I don't think that was number one the first weekend. I don't know if that's true. All right, next category, actual gay characters. Well, there's Les Kendall.
Les is, I think, the only one who is actually gay.
Yeah. You would think the ballroom scene would just be full of...
But, I mean, it's Australia, and I don't know what's happening there.
I think homosexuality has not hit Australia yet. Yeah.
That's what I said.
The tariffs.
Tariffs.
Too high.
Too high.
Baz Luhrmann always strikes me as like, you watch his movies, and you're like, this guy... has got to be gay just watching them. You know what I mean? Everything has such like a flourish and a camp sensibility. Mm-hmm. But then the proof that there's not any actual gay people or homoeroticism tells the story.
Yeah.
True.
And I think also something about like, is it Baz or is it Boz?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I've mostly heard Baz, but who knows?
Okay. So Boz, Baz is married to the production designer for all his movies. Mm-hmm. And she is the most Oscar award-winning Australian, I believe.
Wow.
Of all of his movies. And so, probably the other way around. Like, she's
their movies?
Incredible. And it's yes. They're their movies, yes. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, like, whether, like, what that working relationship is and, like, whether we'll learn more about him later in life.
It could be a very like Phantom Thread situation.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
They poison each other.
We'll learn about the mushrooms later.
Mm-hmm. Great. So for actual gay characters, what do you want to give Strictly Ballroom?
15.
Yeah, I'll go the same. 15 for less.
15. Less is not more. I'm also going to give it 15.
Yeah, I've definitely listened to your Bring It On episode, and like, what's the deal with less characters?
Right? Less being straight men, which is ironic.
Yeah. Wait.
All right, next guy. You might make up some points here. I feel camp factor. How campy is Strictly Ballroom?
This is actually a question that I think might surprise you guys. I have a question about camp.
Okay.
And this movie.
Mm. All right, let's hear it.
I have a dear friend, two dear friends, named Luke and Connor, and we talk about a lot of stuff, and yes, they are gay, and we talk about the theory of straight drag versus camp, like, now, if you ask me to define what straight drag is, I don't know that I would be able to, but I could tell you when I see it, kind of thing.
Sure.
And
do you mean, like, when you say that, do you mean, like, straight people doing drag, or, like, doing drag as in trying to present as straight?
I mean, that's the question. I mean straight drag as in, if it's not camp and it's not like toxic masculinity, it might be straight drag. Like a genre of film, like anything with Kenneth Branagh in it is straight drag.
Okay.
Like it's presenting so straight? Like
a very theatrical heterosexual male?
Yes, it's like when heteroculture, which I belong to, but so it's like when
heteroculture. You're gonna get canceled for that.
Well, I'm just trying to be honest. It's like when heteroculture tries for drama but misses a little bit, and it ends up being, you know, a little bit ridiculous. And so with this movie, and I also think it has to do with like, well, what do you guys think about that idea?
Well, there's like the school of thought that like Joan Waters is very intentional camp and like big mm-hmm. and like over the top, but there's like big and over the top going wrong, like a J-Lo, the boy next like door kind of movie.
Like that's a Mommy like, Dearest. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when they're going for high art, but they're totally missing the mark. And it's kind of cringy, but it's also delightful and fun at the same time. And there's almost the lack of self-awareness is maybe what makes it like what you're mm-hmm. talking about in straight camp, maybe.
Yeah.
But I feel like Strictly Ballroom is very aware of what that it is over the top and big.
Well, so that's my question, because like obviously he's playing with like really campy themes, but then because it's Australian, I'm like, can it be camp? But I guess it is.
I mean, why do you think Australia? Peter Allen's pretty campy.
Kath and Kim.
Okay, Kath and Kim.
Olivia Newton-John.
Pig in the City.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Pie in the face all day. Those are all really good examples.
Pie in the face—that's pretty camp.
I think there is. I think what you're saying to me, like, I do think there's a difference between like camp, like a John Waters movie, or even like Strictly Ballroom, where it's like, oh, we're intentionally going over the top. We're intentionally being big and broad and sort of outsized. And then there's the non-intentional camp, which is something like a Mommy Dearest or something where, or you know, or like a The Boy Next Door. And so they're both camp, but they're slightly different, but we don't have words that sort of put them in different categories. But I can see how like there is a way in which we respond to them a little different. Like there is like a visceral thrill about, again, a Mommy Dearest, because how did they think this was good? Or how did they think this was right? As opposed to like a John Waters, where like, this is crazy. We're going to be super crazy.
Totally.
And but like, I do think they're both camp.
Where does the movie like Baby Driver fit in? You know, like a bad, bad movie that everybody loved. And it's like kind of actually campy, but not on purpose.
That's very straight movie. Edgar Wright is. I don't know how, I haven't seen it in a long time. I mean, just the fact that it's got,
I guess that's just bad.
It could be. Also, I feel like there's an element of commitment to camp. Like in Mommy Dearest, they committed to like, we're doing the movie of Joan Crawford. And in Female Trouble, they committed to telling the story of Dawn now and like the biggest emotions, the biggest story turns you could. So maybe there's like the commitment. Like you can't half-ass camp. Like I've never seen a campy mumblecore. You're never going to see a campy Duplass Brothers movie. And like, wouldn't we love to see that?
I mean, I would love to see that. A little variety, please.
Right. The puffy chair. How about a puffy boa?
Nice.
All right. So how, there we go. And she pulls out a boa. We should say Ellie dressed there. For.
Yeah. No, no really, none of our guests have dressed quite like you have.
We will take a picture later if that's all right.
Yeah. I thought I'd give you guys something visual too, just for quarantine.
I love
you.
So, but I have to say, like, obviously this movie is like, if we're just going to stick with the true definition of camp, this is peak camp. We have feathers everywhere. Speaking of boas, we have like really funny little quotes all the time. People saying full names, a lot of pratfalls, which I don't know if that's really camp, but like, isn't it?
I think so. Well, pratfalls, sure. They're
so
fun.
I'm going to say actually 89.
I think this movie is really campy. I think it is like borderline two-dimensional, really fun. I'm going to actually go 93.
93, the year Last Action Hero came out. All right. These are campy things I noticed in Strictly Ballroom. Red curtains, being really tan with bleached blonde hair. Banaka breath spray, being a cosmetology consultant, the high-stakes world of ballroom dancing, grotesque close-ups, fish tanks, Fran doing just fine without her glasses, an atrocious cover of Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time, dresses with ruffles, intense dance contest judge deliberations, a spinning dance newsletter, Tina Sparkle, dance instruction DVDs, sad Catholic kitchens, a flashback being told via a very theatrical stage presentation, a toupee falling off in a comedic fashion, a slow clap, and finally, villains doing the right thing in the end. Mm. So I do think this is very campy. I do think it borders on grotesque and shrill, but I'll give it a 90. I mean, this is a campy movie, for better or for worse.
I mean, also the fact that they say BOGO POGO all the time.
I didn't know
all the time.
What they were talking about.
The BOGO.
Buy one, get one.
Yeah, that's the
I just think of pay less shoes. That's what's camp about me.
Why pay less when you could pay more?
Exactly. Looks like a pump.
Welcome to Pay More Shoe Source. We're going out of business. All right. Next category, over the top wardrobe.
Got it.
It does have it. I mean,
it's
the ballroom
all
world,
over the place.
I'm going to go ahead and just give it, I'm going to give it 100.
100.
Because even when they're trying to make somebody look bad and not in the ballroom world, they do it pretty crazy. Like Franz Freckles, that mysteriously get cleaned up with the apricot scrub. I don't have an Australian accent.
It's one of the hardest ones, they say.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100. Yeah, I think even like the people who aren't wearing those ridiculous outfits, like all the like the judges and stuff like that, their wardrobe is definitely like peaked at a, you know, like at a high 10. So I'm going to go, I'm going to go 100 as well.
100. I'm going to go 90 because I don't know if this is that heightened from the actual world of ballroom dance. You know what I mean? I don't know if they took the real, it does feel like, well, yes, this is the world of ballroom dancing, which is itself over the top. So I'd almost like them to see them double down on that more, like go even crazier. Like when he has his bolero jacket, where's the red curtain, a red flag, or whatever they do? So I'm going to give them that.
Apparently, that jacket is like worth thousands upon thousands of dollars and was like hand beaded and brought over from Spain and is the most important, the most expensive piece in the movie.
Wow.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's one of the most expensive bolero jackets ever made.
Ever made.
All right.
Thank you.
Next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Strictly Ballroom and come away with a whole book of ideas?
No.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, this is all of Alexis Monteo, I think.
Yeah.
Courtney Act, you know? We're getting a few different kinds of drag queens, but are we getting a different look? Like, I could say that the ballroom look is what we're getting, but what other looks would you do? And then I would maybe say like that Coca-Cola billboard is so iconic. If you wanted to, you could do something with that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do something with that. I think all the bolero stuff though, that's a different than the classic ballroom.
Very true.
Are there any other, like, what about when the non-ballroom looks?
There's what's her name? The mother who was so good, who sadly passed away before the movie came out. Her outfit in that not the first scene in the dance studio where she's wearing that weird purple bodysuit and a white skirt, that I'm like, that could be like a Barbie doll look. Like, that's an iconic look, I think, that is ballroom adjacent, but not fully ballroom. It's like ballroom rehearsal.
I mean, certainly every look in this movie, a drag queen would want.
Sure.
But is it inspiring a whole book full of them? Well, yeah. I mean, I guess every costume is a...
Every costume tells a story.
Yeah.
And there is something, too, like when they're, like, paired up, because, like, on Drag Race, they'll do, like, mother-daughter challenge. You know what I mean? You could see how can two different outfits still represent the same...
Still live in the same
house
family.
...house style, I guess, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there is something to be said for that. So what would you give this for drag queen inspiration?
I'm going to give it... A 69.
69, you perv.
Yeah.
I'm going to go higher. I think it's very like, I think even just like when you think about like all of the accoutrement that like they use in the ballroom culture that drag just seems to love and be attracted to. You know what I mean? Like they love the feathers and all the jewels and the whatnot and the sort of tackiness and the swoops. So I'm going to go 90.
90. I'm going to go 70. I think it is like a very particular style, probably a little dated, but yes. Given an average of 76.33, that's more than Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
We love that.
We love that. All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
This question is so funny.
Why?
It's just like...
I believe it was Dan Lipper who came up with this.
Really?
No, it was Brian Gallivan.
Brian Gallivan, that's it. I knew it was a tall person.
There you go. And they would, wouldn't they?
Yeah. They would, looking down on us.
They're always going, I know what you should do.
Like, out of all of the questions that you guys use, this one trips me up the most. And so, but because it's one of my favorite movies, I'll just say I'm 100%, 100 would recommend this to a gay person.
100. There's nothing you would recommend more.
Shit, but that's not the way it works.
That's not the question. The question is, how likely would you be like, oh my God, you have to see this?
Well, it's 100. That means there's
But I mean, sure, it's not like a matter of like, picks. I'm a gay person that can only watch 3 movies this week. Give me, what would you recommend? It's
I'm more just
like,
saying, giving it 100 implies this is the
there's
most.
There's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go. There's nothing You're else right. you would recommend more. And
this isn't actually a bad thing. Even my favorite.
I don't think it does, though. I think it just says, how likely would you be, like, if you're hanging out with a gay person, like if you were hanging out with Oscar Montoya and mm-hmm. he was like, oh, I've never seen Strictly Ballroom, how likely are you going to be like, oh my God, you have
I'd
to
be
see
like,
it?
What?
She's 100%.
You've never seen Strictly Ballroom?
Mm-hmm.
But but Mark, I do hear you, because I'd be like, there might be other movies that I would be shocked by more that
sure.
Oscar hadn't mm-hmm. seen them. So I'm gonna knock it down to 98 degrees, and hopefully from there. We'll...
Degrees.
Great band. Gone too soon.
Gone way too soon.
They died in a.
All right.
Oh.
I'll go 99. I think this is like such a fun, great movie. I'm so sad that you don't delight in it, Mark. But I think it's
what can you do?
What can you do?
I love Ang Lee's Hulk. There's no figuring me out. I love Moulin Rouge. You know what I mean? Which is like kind of Strictly Ballroom, but more.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm going to give this a 20.
Wow. So if someone hadn't seen it, you were going to be like, no, you don't need
to.
You
haven't missed much.
Okay.
I get that it's fun and it moves fast. And like, there's these, the dance numbers are fun. You know what I mean? But like, for whatever reason, it's only 90 minutes, but I checked my watch like 4 times watching this movie.
Well, actually, like if I were going to critique the story, it is the same act over and over again.
Yes. Yeah. And the story, like especially watching this the week after Female Trouble, it was interesting because I thought this is so, they're taking such risk with style and like performance and production design, but the story is so rote and by the numbers and utterly predictable. Like there never takes, like if they had to do a dance off in a prison or, you know what I mean? Like if the plot reflected the camp world, it would be more fun, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In that way, it's so like, on one hand, it's like so safe.
It is sort of like a very classic, simple story just told in a unique background or a unique world. I agree with that, definitely.
One thing that I learned while preparing, studying.
Doing your research, you flew to Australia.
Yeah. is that I had heard about the Red Curtain trilogy, but I never took the time to like understand what that meant.
Oh, yeah.
And the last qualification of a film being the Red Curtain trilogy, obviously the first one being that there's a red curtain in it.
Thank you.
Is that it's based off of basically like a morality tale. Like it's a very simple story.
Yes.
An identifiable story is one of the requirements for the Red Curtain trilogy. But also all those requirements maybe seem to me to be a little bit slapped on after the fact. So
yeah, possible.
They don't seem like specifically unique to be like, to be a Red Curtain trilogy movie, you have to have a simple story.
It's like maybe to be a Red Curtain movie, you have to have been one of the first 3 movies Baz was making.
But don't they all literally start with a shot of a red curtain?
Yeah, but I'll throw that in anywhere. Why did Romeo plus Juliet have well, because it was a play.
It was a play, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have never seen that. I know the soundtrack.
What? You've never seen?
So, more likely Romeo and Juliet than Strictly Ballroom?
So, do you want to bump down that 98?
No, I'll stand by my band.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
I think it's pretty horny. Weirdly, yeah, I think it's horny, pretty horny for the guy Wayne, who the actor whose name is Pip Mushin, or Mushin, I don't know. The redheaded guy.
The Bogo. He's like,
I thought his name was Frank. Pogo.
Wayne is his character's name.
The one who's like working out?
Yeah, who's like shirtless doing pull-ups and then like is in a tank top a bunch.
Right. I did notice like he was shot like, oh, you could see his muscles. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Same with Paul Mercurio. Like those tank tops were very nice.
Yes. And there are certainly like a lot of montages where he's dancing alone in front of a mirror. And if you're looking at like when you objectify females, like that's usually when it is. It's like, mm-hmm. that's the flash dance. Like that's the best part of the movie, you know? So with men dancing alone in front of a mirror, you don't get that very often. So
you certainly don't.
I'm going to score pretty high.
Okay.
Also the women are like all like this is definitely like a male centered movie, you know? Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it is in ballroom dancing, like the women are really not objectified. In that way.
Well, nobody's helped with those bangs. Those bangs.
No.
Flat. Shield.
I mean, they should sue there's something about Mary because that is the original bang.
Thank
that
you.
Is that bang, yeah.
So what are you going to give this for the male gaze?
I'm going to give it a 95.
95.
Oh, wait. I'm going to give it a 91.
91.
I will give it a 92.
92. These are crazy. I'm going to give it a 40. Wow. I mean, there are a few shots, but I think there's, I don't feel the heat behind it. It just felt, I don't know. There's a couple shots here and there, but it was nothing. I know. It didn't feel particularly horny to me.
But you know, it's like.
I thought Fran's dad looked sexy. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
And also, like, it is the male gaze, and it's all through male storytelling. Like, the moms are dead or crazy. And it's about, like, the beauty of this man's dancing. So
well, that's kind of true about, if you take away the dancing, that's true of Rambo. And you wouldn't say Rambo is a particularly male gazy movie. Just because it features men in the story. That's most movies.
Rambo's really sweaty, isn't
that's
it?
That's true. Well, yeah. Rambo 3, when he goes to Afghanistan.
Oh, wow, I haven't seen that.
He gives money. He gives what? Well, he helps the Taliban in Rambo 3. Really? That's how cool.
Yeah, well, that does Taliban, not hold up.
Before we turned on them, were, you know, they got rid of the opium trade and they made education very popular.
Thank you for researching that like I asked you to before this podcast.
I did do research on that, and it's not just something that is like one of my half communist mother's original hot takes ever since I was a child.
Well, we love her. All right, our next category. Entrances with pizzazz.
Huge.
There's quite a few, I would say.
There's tons, yeah.
Baz so Luhrmann knows what he's doing.
Why did you call this movie shrill again? Because
I also grotesque.
Because all the entrances that, like, there are a lot of, obviously it's a dance competition, so we're getting a lot of entrances. But then, like, Baz really makes a meal out of just casual entrances.
For sure.
Yeah.
And they all involve screaming.
Yes.
There's a lot of screaming in this movie.
I love.
I think you just answered your question of why I found it shrill.
Oh, the screaming. Okay.
The constant screaming was annoying. Weird. And then the camera pushing into their face and distorting their features. That was weird. It also reminded me of like Peter Jackson movies, like his early Peter Jackson movies, because he would do that with his camera, get like really close and like, you know, use like the wide lenses so people's facial features distort. You know, same. Kiwis.
Wait, help. Sorry, I'm ignorant. Give me a Peter Jackson reference.
Well, Heavenly Creatures. You ever seen that? Kate Winslet's first movie.
Oh, nope.
Oh,
I mean,
well, that's my home
video. Lord of the Rings and Hobbit.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, yes. That guy.
Thanks for giving me that reference, John.
No problem. I didn't reference his student film in college.
That is not a student film. Thank you very much.
Compared to Lord of the Rings, it might as well be.
It's the one I thought of most with for the grotesque close-ups. Like, so his style was bigger back then.
Gotcha.
That's a less studio. Mm-hmm. All right, so what are you going to give this for entrances with pizzazz?
I think you could edit every other scene out of the movie and only have entrances, and it would still be a 45-minute long movie.
Sure.
And so I'm going to give it a 99.
99.
I'll give it a 90. I think it's 90. Really good.
I'm going to give it 85. I mean, the big one at the end with like Scott sliding onto the floor in the final dance, sliding so far.
Yeah. So far.
Very funny.
Poor knees.
It's poor knees.
And like also the fake out entrance where they're on the stage trying to enter and then the whole family is pushing them back.
Yeah.
That part's pretty, that's revolutionary.
Pizzazzy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting in Strictly Ballroom?
Now, this is the category I thought we're really going to score very well in.
Yes.
Now, you could cut out every other scene in this movie.
If you cut out all the entrances, what you're left with is 40 minutes of dramatic lighting.
I mean, yeah, it's really, really relies on, not relies, but there's a lot of fun lighting going on. So I'm going to score it high. I'm going to give it a, God, I feel like I've been scoring other things too high now, but I'm also going to give this a 99.
99.
Yeah, I think it's very high. They really sort of lean into theatricality with the lighting, like all the stuff with the dad, like dancing sort of in and out of that, the very dramatic pool of light. And also just like all the stuff in the studio and like the competition, like there's so much like fun. And also like the flashback scene, like that's really fun. And, like,
and the dance on the roof with the Coca-Cola billboard during the sunset. It looks beautiful.
That's great. Yeah, beautiful. There's so much great, wonderful lighting.
The backstage dance.
Yes, where you could see them through the curtain.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really, the lighting also in the low part of the movie turns really green. And I don't know. And then, like, the mom stops wearing makeup for a second. And that very, like, that's also some pretty intense lighting, even though it's more subtle. But, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go 96.
96. I'll go 94. It's pretty dramatic. Given an average of 96.33, that's 2 points higher than Armageddon.
Wow! Yeah. Yes!
And they went to an asteroid.
All right. Next category, strident women.
I mean, there's this Liz. Movie's full of them.
No, this is the category. I thought
that... Yeah. You have Scott's mom, Shirley Hastings. She's, couldn't be more strident.
So strident, she died before the movie came out.
I know, it's so sad because she's so great. I thought she was like really, really fantastic, absolutely wonderful in this movie. And it's so sad that like this could have led to like other things for her. It's just so sad because I thought she did such a great job.
Sure.
And Gia Carides is also in this movie. I know that name because I love My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and she is one of the aunts in that movie.
And oh, okay.
She's the dance partner, not Tina Sparkles, but the other one. The
Liz something, I think.
Oh, Liz, yeah. the one who was always screaming? The screamiest one?
The strident woman, number one. Yeah.
Who then in the end plugs the music back in at just the right moment.
Oh.
That. Perfect.
Villains turning good.
She's redeemed. She put the music back on. I do like the recurring. They're almost like a Greek chorus, the two little kids.
Little kids are great.
The two little kids.
They're cute.
That's very camp. That's a very camp element to me for some reason. I couldn't say why, but I think it is.
Have you guys ever done ballroom dancing? Maybe I should have asked.
I have not. No.
Neither have I.
Do you guys want to guess for me?
I'm going to guess you've taken some classes.
I've never taken ballroom dancing classes.
You've just competed.
I've only placed first nationally. Some people are born with talent. No, I've never done it, and I'm like pretty shocked by it. Like, I have done other kinds of dancing, but I've never done, you know, the.
Do you think you're like saving it for like when you hit your 50s?
And yes.
You're going to be like, you know what? I'm finally going to give ballroom dancing a try.
Well, I definitely know it's a qualification. It's definitely like on my list for if we want to be married, like you have to be okay taking ballroom dancing classes with me when we're 50.
That sounds like a hoot.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't say yes to that?
Well, you'd be surprised.
Do you bring that up on a first date?
I mean, I bring up that, kids, and my mother.
You have to live with all of them. So what are you going to score Strictly Ballroom for strident women?
Every woman in this movie is strident. Except for Fran. So I'm going to give it a 94.
94.
Yeah, I'm going to go 95.
95. I'll go 94. Sure, why not? Give it an average of 94.33.
Come on. All right. That has to be pretty good for compared to other movies.
Yeah.
I could tell you exactly how that's not as good as Funny Girl. Got 94.67. But it is better than Interview with a Vampire, which only had a 49.
That's wrong.
There's not a lot of strident women in Interview with the Vampire. Just Kirsten Dunst, really.
A young Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, but she got kissed.
That's true. And Drew Barrymore's never been kissed. So is that fair?
That doesn't seem fair to me. It seems wrong all around.
Please sign my petition. All right. Our next category, macabre.
Hey, Drew kissed.
Sorry. How macabre is Strictly Ballroom?
I think actually for a ballroom movie,
that is a huge qualification.
Yes. Nobody
I mean,
does.
If we're looking as a movie, no. If we're looking as a ballroom movie, well, then it's a very different thing.
On the scale of all ballroom movies.
I think like the flashback sequence is very macabre. And yeah. I think like there's something about like the cut twos, a lot of them are sort of like crazy where like there's definitely like some weird dark elements to
some
this
dark
movie.
Energy.
Well, there's definitely a moment in the middle where if you don't know what's going to happen, you think maybe somebody might die because like stuff starts happening. Like they're talking about how what's his name can't win, and then the Barry Fife like drags raw meat across the frame. And like there's just like little hints like that, like the basement room with the creepy lighting and like the secrets, you know. And then of course the crazy scary mom. So I'm gonna give it not the highest, but I'm gonna give it a 69.
Okay.
No, I'm gonna take it back. I'm gonna be better. I'm gonna give it I'll give it a 51.
51.
I actually am going to give it a 62. I do think there's like enough sort 62. Of macabre elements in it that make it sort of like weird and creepy, and you could go dark with it.
What
like
do you think, Strictly Ballroom? You think, ooh, Halloween, something spooky. No,
it's about macabre. It's about, yeah, I think that whole flashback sequence and like the makeup of the dad and the mom and all them people, I think that's all very like weird. That feels very like almost,
Edward,
what's his name? Yeah, it feels very Tim Burton to me, exactly. Like it has a sort of weird macabre, weird spooky feel to it.
To me, that was more theatrical than macabre, but not that both, they can't be both.
I understand.
I'm going to give it a 30 in macabre. When I think Strictly Ballroom, I do not think macabre. That's just me. Oh, it's actually tied for macabre with Armageddon.
Okay.
That might be your competition here. Well, all right, our next category
is a fantastic.
You brought Strictly Ballroom to an Armageddon fight.
I'm sad about that because Armageddon is in my top five favorite movies.
Okay,
there you go. You contain multitudes.
I do.
All right, our next category. This should be a category near and dear to your heart, Ellie. Wigs.
Oh.
This girl loves a wig.
Oh my goodness.
We both directed her in sketch.
That's true. We know.
She just pulled up a wig out from under her.
Yeah, you just plucked that wig out of thin air like that boa.
Yeah.
You're like Mary Poppins of wigs.
Yeah, it's just, there's a lot of stuff.
We put on, this is the first guest to don a wig during the wigs category.
Has anybody ever picked a boa feather out of their wig?
No.
Never. That's never happened.
So I think there's a lot of good hair play in here.
Tons.
We have some great toupees, fantastic hairspray.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it's not wig stock. It's sadly. It's not, you know, ballroom dancing does require you to use your real hair and slick it back.
Oh, is that true?
I don't know.
Oh. That's the rules.
Do we think that's true?
No. I don't think so. That doesn't seem like something they would care about.
I would think you wouldn't want a ton of hair like getting in your face or anything.
Right, like nothing.
I'm sure there are rules about like keeping it out of your face, but I think as much as you want, as long as it doesn't interfere
maybe
with the
maybe less
dance.
A rule than a suggestion, you know.
A guideline.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give this a 80.
80.
79.
79.
Yeah, I think it's very wiggy. I also think like Barry Fife's toupee, which becomes like a comedic sort of thing at the end. So I'm going to go 85 because I think like the hair is all very specific and very like, even if it is real hair, I think there's in a lot of places, there's a lot more hair pieces than I think we are aware of.
I was just thinking that.
I wish we were aware of them because I'm going to give it a 75, mostly for that toupee flopping down.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next category, quips. How quippy is Strictly Ballroom? A lot of lines making you laugh.
A lot of cute little phrases, you know. Pam Short's broken both her legs, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
I like the kids during that, like that audition sequence. She's like, "A little musicality, please."
Please, you yes. know. Yeah.
The kids were a little quippy.
The kids are quippy, and then the mom has some great one-liners that are way dated. But it's not Heather's.
That's true.
I don't know if you guys noticed.
I did notice that, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. I was 40 minutes in. I was like, where's Winona Ryder?
Wait, nobody's done Heather's on your show?
No.
Nope.
Well, note taken. So I'm going to say this is a 69, actually.
69. Okay, Ellie. I get it. You came here to spread your filth. To come here with some shock value.
You're goddamn right. It's Ken, what's his name's dance number too, which I love.
Yeah, it's not that quippy, although I just enjoy everything they said because it had an Australian accent. So I'm going to go 65.
65. Pretty good for being not that quippy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 40. I have to say,
Mark's mad.
I am not mad at all. You, Ken, I love being the odd man out. This is my ideal situation. I just get to tell people why they're wrong. Please, I'm in heaven. I'm going to give it a 35. I think I chuckled once. And actually, I usually keep write down funny things they say when I watch these movies. Yeah. I didn't write anything down for this.
Okay. I think you're right. A bit of musicality, please, is the best line.
Yeah.
All right, next category, vibrato.
So vibrato, of course, in addition to just the literal meaning of vocal vibrato, but anytime there's something extra or zhuzhi or sort of like, they take it, they give you a little more than maybe you need, but you'll like it.
I mean, that's the entire movie, I would say.
That is pretty much the entire movie, I would say.
I would say.
Except I would say they're going so far, like it's turned up to 11, that now we're getting feedback and it hurts the ears.
And see, and I would say, I didn't have anything to say. I just wanted to say
fair enough. It was a good setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, yeah, like if you, it's, well, it's not a Star Is Born.
That's true.
No one actually sings in the world of this movie, so.
That's yes, true. But what's her name? I'm forgetting all their names right now. The main female, Pam?
Fran.
Thank you. I've seen this movie 10 times and I remember Tina Sparkles. Fran actually is singing time after time.
Correct.
That song's, her cover is terrible. Am I crazy?
I disagree. I think it's sweet.
I thought it's so bland. I like it a lot. It sounds like easy listening.
I like the arrangement of it. I think the arrangement of it's very sweet and simple.
I thought it was dreadful.
It works for that scene, and it's always surprising to me that she was doing it because it was kind of like, why? But mm-hmm. But it's also pretty ballsy to just kind of like do a Cyndi Lauper song and not have it just Cyndi Lauper.
I mean, this proves that. Yeah, to me, this mm-hmm. proves that. So you're right.
So I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it a 98 degrees and rising.
98.
I'll give it a 97, just because no one actually sings.
Mm. Fair.
I mean, yeah, this is pretty. It is pitched. So I'll give it a 95.
Okay.
All right, you're gonna do very well in this next category. I feel like this is the last of the canon categories. Footwork. How would you rate the footwork in Strictly Ballroom?
What about this one?
It's constant. It's mostly footwork.
It's all constant footwork and entrance.
It's also like about footwork. It's about like not doing steps or doing steps. Like it's not just an artistic thing. It's like literally like, oh, this is about what your feet can do.
New steps. you're right, John. So I was gonna give it like a kind of a cat, like not thinking about it casual in the 90s, but I'm gonna go for 100.
Yeah, 100. You have to go 100. You gotta go 100 for this movie.
So John, it's a dance movie. So what are we doing if we're not doing that?
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 25. No, I'm just kidding. 100.
What?
100. Sorry. Giving it 100. It's tied
25.
Tied with Bring It On.
Okay.
And Funny Girl. Wow, Love and Armageddon for footwork only got 64.67.
Why did they
have that? The hallway where they all walk down that hallway.
It's a hallway, being on an asteroid.
Oh, and then the little animal crackers' feet are galloping. That's cute. That's good for
sure. Yeah.
All right, so now we're into the wheel category. These are other guests' categories that are neither canon nor bonus.
Yeah.
Think of them as also-rans or not as good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, solo bedroom dancing.
Is there any solo bedroom dancing?
We never see a bedroom, I think.
Yeah, I don't think we ever see either of the lead's like bedroom. He's in the dance space.
Studio.
It does kind of have the spirit of solo bedroom dancing, I would say. But it's not.
Yeah.
What about the dad?
Yeah.
Does he dance in his bedroom?
But
he's watching footage in the. I mean, if you think like they own a dance studio, that is their home.
You know what I mean? Like kind of relegated to the basement, and that's where he dances. And so like that's his bedroom. Couldn't you do that? Couldn't you make that
You could
argument?
Say that, yeah.
Are you making that argument?
Is that your...
I think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to make that argument.
Okay, argument noted. The argument has been made. Minutes?
Yeah. Shirley, can you give that back to us? Thanks.
So if you had to give that a number, what would you say?
20.
20!
It's not, I think this is a very, actually, I've listened to this episode. I know where it's coming from. And I think nobody really, like, because actually what I want to say about this question is I think that there's something that it's missing. I think it needs to be dancing in a bedroom, specifically on a bed, probably wearing white underwear.
That is very specific.
That's a lot.
Why the white underwear? Because like purity, innocence?
It just Mormons? Happens a lot of movies. It just is like,
but I think
the white underwear. Like Cameron Diaz did it, like, and she's done it many times.
But then that would negate the iconic bedroom dance scene from Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge.
Yeah.
Is anyone he's in his jeans.
Right. Okay, well, I see, yeah. And then, yeah, I see how this works.
All right. John, what are you going to give us for solo bedroom dancing?
I think... as I said, when this category was pitched, I was going to be a little looser with it. And the fact that
you
like
loose with
a
category, this is news.
And me, and like the fact that like it's my bedroom, I'm thinking more of like a very like personal private moment. Like it's like a very vulnerable, like you feel safe. You feel like this is your space and you're like dancing out your feelings, your emotions and stuff like that. So yes, it is not a literal bedroom, but it is like emotionally it is a bedroom. And I think that that solo is very moving and dramatic, so I'm going to give it a 90.
90.
I would like to change jerseys and also say that it's a 90.
All right.
Now that my white underwear theory has been disproven.
Thank you. I believe Emotional Bedrooms was a Sting album.
Yes.
I'm going to give it an 80 because it does have the spirit of solo bedroom dancing, but I need to have somewhere to go when there's actual solo bedroom dancing.
That's true.
All right. Wheel category number 2. He's spinning solo bedroom dancing brought to us by the Bring It On episode.
You know that the Franz store is not a real store?
Yeah, we read the IMDb trivia too.
Yeah, I read that. I was trying to fill time while John spoke.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, the category we have is tan.
Oh!
Yeah. I feel like John is skewing these.
No.
How tan is Strictly Ballroom?
I mean, you got Barry Fife right there. That just sort of like ridiculous tan. And a lot of them have a lot of like very like distinctive. Like this is a movie that there's a lot of tan going on.
A lot of tan.
It's calling
movie.
Attention to itself.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of ironic tan, unironic tan. There's a lot of different tan styles going on. Barry Fife is the original tan man. And
that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what we call. That's what we've all been calling him for years. And our president can move over.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're not my president.
Ooh, that'll hurt.
Yeah, I think he's really going to be mad about that. So I'm going to have to score that high and say, yeah, it's definitely like 98 degrees in Riley.
98.
I'm going to give it an 84.
84. I think this is pretty tan. I'm going to give it a 90. Give it an average of 90.67. All right. Spin that wheel again. Tan brought to us from Ryan Stanger and the Raiders of the Lost Ark episode.
Okay, you're gonna think I'm lying.
What's
but
it now?
It
ballroom
is...
dancing?
No. Nope. Legendary billboard.
Are you serious,
Coca-Cola
John?
Sign. I'm totally serious. That's what's come up. That Coca-Cola billboard is great. It's iconic.
You're not showing us the wheel at all. Oh. We're just meant to take your word for it.
Can you see that? Is that
no.
Yeah.
When I do that movie challenge once a year where they're like, post one still from a movie that you think is cool or whatever that thing is.
I love
is.
Annual movie challenge time.
I know, right? It always
that
happens.
Favorite time of year.
Low in the news. Maybe we won't get one this year. But fair next enough. Year.
We could have several.
So I think like it's always that billboard, and I love that billboard very much. I'm not a fan of Coca-Cola, but God, maybe
really
branding.
I'm drinking a Coke Zero right now.
Well, that's your choice.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that's the only like that's some that and the Truman Show. Those are, that's my favorite branding in a film. So I'm gonna give it iconic billboard. I'll give it a 90.
90.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 92. I just think it's like it's so unique. It's like it's weirdly because it is like Coca-Cola, but then it how it's made because it's those weird little like shiny pieces that it sort of like makes it pop a little bit more. So yeah, so for me 92.
Like a Sparklets truck.
Sparklets.
Exactly. Yes, just like that.
I'm gonna give it a 90, give it an average of 90.67. Spinning again, John. I'm sure it'll be what? Australian Paul Mercurio films. Baz Luhrmann films.
You guys read that thing on the IMDb that like Coca-Cola was like, okay, we'll pay for some of this.
Right.
They didn't pay for all of it. And
there's also a scene that I wonder if there's a scene where somebody like stopped dancing and they were immediately handed two cans of Coke. I'm like, is that what
oh,
you
yeah,
want?
When they came
right? Right when you just like did a physical exertion, it's like a room temp Coca-Cola.
Actually, what I want is a Coke with some Mentos in it.
Perfect. Maker?
Yeah, that'll settle your stomach. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put that right in there, and then I just let it shoot like a science experiment right into my face. And that's the only way to hydrate after exercise.
You save it for Jackass, Ellie. What's our next category, John?
It is You Gave It To Me. Which is, you know, just like you set me up for this, and you really delivered on the promise of your premise.
Okay, so like the movie really did its thing.
That's how I interpret this category.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the way I rate movies in general, by the way.
Okay,
that's fair.
On its own terms, not what you want, but what it wanted to do.
Right.
What it was trying to do here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did they set out what they tried to do?
Did they set out what they tried to do? Yeah. Yes. So I think obviously this movie was incredibly successful. Who was it? Doris Day from the IMDb thing requested yes. a private screening.
Yeah. And she doesn't do that for very many movies.
No, I think
famously,
this was the only one she did that for. Why was that trivia? That was weird to me. Anyway.
Right. Isn't she living on an animal farm or something?
Sheep, that would fit that. Sheep, yeah. Probably. And baby goats.
They love ballroom.
Ewes. Yes.
You
gave it to me. And because this movie was so successful for Baz Luhrmann, that the very next movie he directed was with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes. Like, they were just like, here, we're going to hand you the biggest stars of the 90s because Strictly Ballroom was so successful, and that was mm-hmm. his first movie. I'm gonna go ahead and give him 100 because he did.
Great.
Give it to me.
Yeah, I think he really. He did. I think it's sort of it to me it feels a very satisfying movie that sort of like fulfills itself, and it's sort of yes, it's cheesy, yes, it's and I totally understand what you're saying, Mark, about it being like a little hollow and a little stuff like that. Because like even like the last moment of the film where like the hero has to like believe in himself one more time. Watching it this time, I was like, what is his actual final moment there? Who knows? But it's what we needed. And then he did that weird, sexy little Toreadorable dance. I'll give it a 96.
96. You gave it to me, and I hope you kept the receipt.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't want it. I'm giving it a 20. It did set out what it tried to do, but I don't want that. It's not you did what you set out to do. The category is you gave it to me. And to me,
and you didn't get
I
it.
Want it.
We Fair? Know.
Not works. What I'm looking for. It's like you fried oysters or something.
Wait, what?
I don't want that.
You don't like deep fried oysters? Have you ever had them on a sandwich with mayonnaise and Tabasco and lemon?
Absolutely not.
I think that would really change your opinion because I don't love deep fried oysters, but a po' boy is something very special.
Is that oysters or shrimp?
It depends. It could be a shrimp. I'll make one for you.
Great.
I'll never do that.
The pressure's on.
Imagine.
That was mean, Ellie. That was really mean of you.
No, it was just true to myself. If I were someone different, I would make it for you. But the fact is, I want to make it for you, and I know I'll never do it.
I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, Ellie, the time has come for you to add a category that could become canon, but in the meantime, will be added to the wheel. So is there a category we can use for this movie and future movies to judge how gay they
are? How gay it is.
As a prism.
I thought for a second, maybe unnecessary branding. I thought maybe like hairspray use, but these are all kind of things that we've talked about already.
Sure.
So I think I'm going to go with bad Photoshop.
Oh.
Photoshop. Okay.
You know, yeah. Score well in this book club. Did you see book club?
Yes. Sure.
Insane photo. Why are movies so bad at Photoshop? They have thousands of, it feels like it's like the last thing they do when they're making these movies.
And somehow it's like the newer movies are the worst ones.
Absolutely. They look awful. And it's so funny every time you see it.
Are we using a different program and we're not using Photoshop anymore? Because just use Photoshop. It seems to work.
It feels like they're doing it the day of the shoot. Like, we need that photo. Where, and then the art person's like,
hold on.
Like, I have rubber cement.
Yeah.
I cut.
So what would you give Strictly Ballroom for bad Photoshop?
Well, I mean, it's funny that I made this category because I'm actually only going to give it a 20%.
What is the, where do you think is the glaring bad Photoshop?
There's one photo at the end where like, yes, it's like in the photo album and it's like the two parents dancing and.
Okay.
Just like, I don't know what happened with Barry Otto's face, father of Miranda Otto.
In Lord of the Rings. She's in Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
I am no man, Slice. That's a deep cut, so to speak. Yes. All right, I'll stop.
You know, so I'm gonna, yeah, I'm gonna give it
a 20.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it
20. John, what are you gonna give Strictly Ballroom for?
I guess I'll
Photoshop?
Do. I thought I have to say I was underwhelmed by like the newspaper headlines. They seemed very like.
But wasn't that like appropriate for a ballroom newsletter though? You know what I mean? Like I did think a ballroom newsletter would look cheap.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Wow. Next you're going to say ballroom isn't a sport.
Well, not when you got curling.
True. Curling's fantastic.
Or holy moly.
What's that?
That's the ABC. It's like a miniature golf show meets Wipeout.
Oh, yeah.
It's if you like seeing people fall into water, it's the perfect show.
Hey, do you guys, the three of us, should we all go on The Floor is Lava when casting comes back up next?
Absolutely.
Season?
Right. Sure. I think I would do well. I might be insane, but like, I think maybe that's what that show is. You think like, that doesn't look that hard. And then I'm sure it's very hard to hang off supporting your body weight. Hang on.
You know, it's all about what you're willing to sacrifice your body.
Right.
For, you know, and yeah. You know, I'm ready to do that.
I believe you'd sure, be a great teammate.
You know.
You'd be great. Yeah.
John's beard, John, they'll be getting caught in that cargo net.
Oh.
Know that the our John was my director on a sketch team for a long time. And John, do you know that our last show when I did that character, do you know that I was sick with COVID before?
That was what you had. I remember you were really? Like very sick, and there was this like, oh, we hope Ellie's gonna be able to make the show because it's not. I didn't realize that's so crazy.
And you remember how when I came to rehearsal that one time, I was like, I'm sorry, I'm just like really out of breath.
So you were spreading.
I yelled
left
at you.
Right.
I was like so angry at you.
And you're like spreading it everywhere. And John was like,
wow. Oh, now I wonder if I have had it and just was like,
we got to get the antibodies test.
You got to get that test.
But they say there's a study out that says even if you have the antibodies, may only last for 3 months.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it, so you can still get it again.
Oh, so it's not like I can get it.
I'm
oh, gotcha.
Totally pretending I've never had it.
That's smart.
Yeah.
John, what are you going to give Strictly Ballroom for bad Photoshop?
I'll give it 25.
25. Trust Ellie and give it a 20. Giving it a 21.67. All right, now we are into the bonus round category. So this is where the movie will not be penalized for not having, not meaning these, but it'll only be bonus points. Instead of 0 to 100 points, we're going to score it on 0 to 5%.
I think it's weird you say penalized, not penalized.
I don't know what the right way. I could barely say mirror. So.
It's a good word.
Penalized?
Penalized.
Penalized feels very Southern to me.
He's been penalized. He's been penalized.
Yeah. I will not penalize you.
When you say with a Southern accent, I actually do like penalized.
He's been penalized like a dog in the street. All right, next, our first bonus category, makeover montage on 0 to 5%.
Yeah, 5.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I would say 5. There's a ton. There's like the dance montage to Time After Time.
Fran gets Scott, multiple ones.
She gets a beautiful one. There's Scott learning like the beautiful Spanish rhythm, and like when that, like the first time we see that bolero jacket. There's a lot of makeover montages in this movie.
There are a lot of makeover montages. I'm also going to give it a 5. All right, next category: angry phone hangups. There's one,
which I think was Barry pretty Fife. Like bold, like Barry Fife, and he's like, "There's no new steps for the Pan Pacific Grand Prix," and then he hangs up the phone, and then you see that like he's in the middle of having sex with that woman,
that poor woman.
We never probably learn her name, but that's fine.
Neither did he probably.
So like that's a pretty like big one for me.
There's a big one.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Category is hang-ups.
Hang-ups. Fine. I'll give it a big one.
A one.
Oh, I'm going to give it a 3. I think it's so big. And just the fact that like, it's the middle of a sex act, I think is very funny.
A sex act.
I'm going to give it a 2.
Shit, I rated it so low.
You can change it if you want to.
I've already been doing that so much.
Next category. Titular theme song. Is there a song called Strictly Ballroom happening? I don't think so.
There isn't a song, but Barry Fife does at one point say his steps were not always Strictly Ballroom. And he sort of like leans into it. He doesn't sing it, but he does say the title.
Like, and maybe like there was musicality, a bit of musicality.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's that Australian accent, like that lilt, if you will. So,
I think
like,
one reason why it. I hate the music and like the ballroom music, I just hate for whatever. Like, even when I've seen Dancing with the Stars, whatever that genre of music is, it just feels like nursing home music to me.
Well, it's not jazz.
It's not jazz for that. I learned that from La La Land. Thank you.
I would say, yeah, it probably tends to be more like big band swing than jazz.
Ugh.
Swing.
It's a snoozer for me. Yeah. So there is no actual titular theme song. They say
the
title.
I mean, like the big songs, the big songs I would say are both Time After Time and Love Is in the Air. You know what I mean? Like when I hear Love Is in the Air, I do think of this movie.
What is that song that they have with the really tender moment? Am I going to get this question, by the way?
Huh? What do you mean?
One of your questions is like a feel good moment, like with
a song that puts you in the a feel song.
Yeah, that's coming up.
So,
Secrets.
No, yeah, there is no titular theme song. I'm going to be straight about it. There is no titular theme song. I'm going to give it a 0.5 point because
you can do that.
For some reason, does sing Time After Time. But I'll give it a 0.5.
All right.
I'll give it a 1.
A 1. I'm going to give it a 0.
Okay.
Mock. All right.
Next category, fun fonts. How are the fonts in Strictly Ballroom?
There's a ton.
There's a ton of fonts in this movie. The cursive of the poster, the name alone. You know, there are a bunch of fonts with glitter block writing behind people's heads.
Yeah, a lot of signs.
It's like even the basic, like what appears to be Times New Roman is somehow like maybe Australian Times New Roman. Mm-hmm. And it's slightly, maybe it's spinning the other way. And I like that. You know? So I'm just going to go ahead and give this weird category the 5.
A 5.
I'll give it a 3.
A 3. Wasn't that fun for John?
John, you didn't have fun?
I had fun, but it's more about the feet than the fonts.
Not the font work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a 4. I thought it was pretty fun, especially in that flashback scene, all the stage-like signs.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Were pretty fun. All right, next category, cheer-worthy cameos. Well, I know the director has a cameo, but I did not notice him.
It's oh, I didn't know that. Fast. Yeah, I never, I like pretty much miss it every time.
Yeah.
And then I think, like, for me, it's cool that Gia Carides is in it because I love Cousin Nikki from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, as I've
Who
already mentioned.
Who is she in this?
Cousin Nikki, and she's the main girl. What's her name? The blonde
Graham?
Woman. No, the
Liz.
Yeah. Yeah.
As soon as you did that face, I knew. I knew who you
meant.
Yeah.
That's not really a cameo. She's in the whole movie.
Sure. But we love to see an Australian. We love it when Australian actresses cross over. So
thank God for Margot Robbie.
Thank God for Margot Robbie and all of them.
Nicole Kidman, of heard of her. Toni Collette.
Correct.
Toni Collette. Also surprised nobody's ever done Muriel's Wedding for your pod.
I've never seen that.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Oh, I mean,
it's a weird one, yeah.
I would recommend that 100%. I would give that a full 100 recommend.
More than Strictly Ballroom?
Yeah.
There's our barometer. All right, great. Okay. System works. So what are you going to give this for cheerworthy cameos?
I'll give it a 0.5.
A 0.5 based on?
I don't want to give it a zero.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to have to go zero. There's no one
zero.
Who like, only appeared in one thing.
I too will give it a zero.
Even like nobody ever come, like none of the actors ever really, we don't know them as an American audience.
This whole movie is a cameo for some of them.
Yeah, like, right?
Right.
There are sure. All the dad is a famous flamenco dancer.
Oh. But,
oh, that makes sense.
Our next bonus category, pool trouble. You know, for being in Australia, you'd think this would be thick with pools.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Wild Things.
This is not Wild Things. That's the first, as soon as I started this movie, I was like, wait a minute, this is not Hold Wild on. Things.
And you know, yeah.
Then you're like, and it's not Heathers either.
Not Heathers. What is this movie?
Something Australian.
There Strictly are pools of full. Light. There's pools a lot of spotlight light. Work.
And there's a lot of like trouble about like the dancing that goes on in those pools of light.
That was really good, you guys.
I mean, we know how
We've
to
been doing this for a while.
That was, yeah, that was a last stand.
I'm not saying this is a 5 by any means.
Well, just for the pool, just for the pools of light, for the spotlight, and also I'll give it a 0.5 for the fact that at the beginning Fran is crushing salt in the ground to get rid of the sweat pools.
Oh, so no one would trip and fall.
No one would trip and fall.
Wow.
And that would be pool trouble.
It would be, but it didn't happen.
But it didn't happen. So I'll give it a 1.
A 1.
Yeah, I'll give it a 1.5.
A 1.5, a rare 1.5. I'll give it a 1. All right, next category, sassy best friend. Does Paul have a best friend?
No, he kind of
doesn't. Have any friends?
Wayne. He has Wayne.
Who's Wayne? The redheaded guy?
He won't do the bogo pogo. Yeah, that's like his best friend.
They didn't seem very friendly.
I think the little kids, again, the young kids, a little musicality, please. Like that sassy little.
And they're best friends to each other, I guess you would mm-hmm. say.
I also think that like, yeah, he doesn't, Paul doesn't have any friends. He hates Wayne. And then eventually he like.
Yeah, right.
I don't think he hates Wayne. He and Wayne are just not in the same vibe, you know?
Yeah, they've always like been pushed together. They were like, take baths together when they were kids and stuff. And it's like, they're they're adults.
They've practiced the bogo pogo step before is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Where's that scene?
But I think that like Paul goes and he meets his best friend, which turns out to be Fran's father. And so, and he is sassy. And am I stretching?
It's okay.
You have to stretch if you want to dance.
That's what I've heard.
That's true.
Day one on a date with Ellie.
Paul, give it a full 0.5.
A full 0.5. Great.
I'll give it a 2. I think the kids are really sassy, and I think of the other like dancers, there's a lot of like pick a little talk, a little sassiness going on. So yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 1. I think it's just those kids. All right, next category. A bold lip.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime they're dancing, they got a bold lip.
Well, especially that flashback, Dan in the flashback. Mm-hmm. It almost looks like the Joker.
I mean, a bold lip, like men wear makeup in this movie. Everybody's doing a bold lot of stuff. And so, I'll give a bold lip a 4.5, actually.
4.5.
No, we don't have her like really featured only the lip. And that's why I got a point off.
I'll give it a 4.5 as well. I think the lips are all, but there's not like that iconic lip, but there is like throughout just boldness.
Sure. I'm going to give it 2.5.
Right, because it's not Rocky Horror.
Right,
not,
exactly.
This is not Rocky Horror. This is not Heathers. This is not, I forgot what the third one was.
No, it's actually, I think I've like done it like 10 times. I've only been able to talk in rhyme and do callbacks for this. That's what
you're
jokes
being are. Very productive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, our next category, witches. How witchy is Strictly Ballroom?
I think Fran's Yaya, her grandmother, there's something a little like spirituality, like there's something
Catholic.
Like a little bigger, you know what I mean? And just the fact that she's like, oh, I brought this dress just in case, you know what I mean? Like there's something about like, her like just having magical powers or having the foresight to be like, oh, this is, you know, or even to like intuit like when Fran first is like, oh, I'll be right back. And she's like, I know what you're doing. You know, like, so like,
I know what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. She's making meatballs when she doesn't say it, but you know, there's something
classic
about
witch.
Her that she's like on a different wavelength.
Uh-huh. I also just think that like Fran is extremely witchy in the fact that she discovers her power. It's not Teen Witch.
This is not right? Teen Witch.
But, not Teen Witch.
Yeah. It's not Heathers.
She does discover her power. And like there is that moment at the end where what's his name decides to dance with Tina Sparkle instead of her. And then they have that moment where he looks over to her as if to say, surely you understand what's happening. Like, don't you get that I had to do this and will you forgive me? And it's all unspoken communication, sure. You know? And then she looks at him and she kind of says like, no, we were in this together and it's all unspoken. And it's a very witchy moment because she stands up for herself without saying anything. All so right. I'll give it a three.
Three.
I'm going to give it a two.
I'm going to complete this pattern and give it a one.
Oh.
I didn't think it was that one, just for the Catholic grandma. All right, next category. How Korean is it? How Korean is Strictly Ballroom? I don't think it's very Korean.
Any Koreans in Australia.
Nope.
Yeah. I actually knew this was a question, so I Googled the Korean population in Australia. But either way, they're really not.
They were not represented.
Not represented in this film, so I'm going to give it a zero.
Zero.
I'll give it a zero as well.
Zero. I will also give it a zero. You might make up some points here. Felt. How much felt is in this movie?
Yep. There actually is a very important felt moment. And it's
go on.
The flag, the pinnacle of the
video. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
Yep. I saw it and I was like, bing, 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 bing.
Thank God.
Yeah, there's a moment where it's like one of those weird pendants where it's like, oh, this was the prize and I've saved this for, and it's like 100%. Your Honor, Exhibit A for felt, this pendant.
Oh, yeah. I keep calling it a pinnacle, but it's a pendant. Yeah. Yeah. But
it's also just like
the pinnacle of the movie for me. Mm-hmm. And that's
how
important that felt was.
Sure.
So I'll give it a four.
Four.
I'll give it a 4.5 because I think also like felt is used a lot in the costumes, a lot in like that flashback sequence. I bet a lot of stuff is made out of sort of like weird felty materials. So yeah, 4.5 for me.
I'll give it a four. All right, next category, gay actors playing gay roles.
Only role that we sort of know is gay is Les.
And I
couldn't find any information about that actor.
Well, so if you had to translate that.
I'm going to give it a zero, sorry.
A zero.
Yeah, I have to give it a zero as well. Yeah.
As will I. All right, maybe this time you'll make up some. I'm being very honest. Themes of mothers. Well, we got a classic stage mother situation.
Yeah, the stage mother situation. Also, there's a moment where the Yaya said to Fran, your mother could wear a potato sack and light up a stage.
She would have been so proud of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The mother is the first person to say anything, and it is a scream. Yeah, I think like the mother is the villain. She chooses, you know, less over her husband, and she should have stuck with her man. So I'm gonna go ahead and give it a five because
I'll give it a five as well. I think like I don't think the mother is the villain necessarily so much as she's a villainous because she's as much of a victim of the whole like we have to follow the rules, but like yeah, there's a whole lot of how could you do this to us after all we've done. So yeah, I think there's a lot of mother themes going on in this movie.
I'm going to give it a four because it's essentially not really her story. So giving it a four.
Gotcha.
All right, next category. Is there a song that puts you in your feels?
Yes. What is it? It's like maybe, maybe, maybe. Probably.
Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. Maybe, maybe, maybe.
Maybe, maybe, maybe.
Maybe, maybe, maybe.
We'll see, we'll see, we'll see.
Probably, probably.
Yeah, that's Doris Day singing, which is why she asked for a private screening.
Now it makes sense. Where was this fact 20 minutes ago?
Thank you.
I thought you knew.
I didn't put it together.
I didn't think I needed to tell you that was Doris Day.
This isn't pillow talk.
I love that part. They're behind the curtain. They're having that really pure eye contact. Mm-hmm.
I think Time After Time puts you in your feels. And also I think the end, Love Is in the Air. I think that's a very sweet song that can make me tear up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
Mark, your eye roll was very loud.
Everybody saw, heard that.
Sorry. Check your speakers.
I was just about to do it again. I'm going to say I'll give it a 4.
A 4.
I will give it a 4 as well.
A 4. I'm giving it a 0. I hate that cover of Time After Time.
It's so crazy. Love Is in the Air? You don't think that's sweet?
It's fine. It just sounds like the Love Boat to me.
This is a very subjective question.
Absolutely. This is a subjective question? Well, no, which is like hard facts?
Those are hard. That's a hard science question.
Well, we're all about the hard science here.
Yeah.
All right. Next category, gossip. How gossipy is Strictly Ballroom? It's pretty gossipy,
gossipy, yeah.
That's gossip, you would say a lot during this movie.
Very gossipy. The little kids talking. There's a lot of like whispers in the air shots.
Tina Sparkles. Yeah, what's going on with Tina Sparkles?
These people are dancing or auditioning and da-da-da. And like, he doesn't care about winning the Pan Pacific Grand Prix.
You know who was cute in this movie was Tina Sparkles' partner who was retiring. But then I couldn't find who he wasn't in the IMDb anywhere.
Wait. Why did you know that name, John?
Because it is the name of a comedian as well. And when they said his name, I went, oh my goodness, that's that person. Okay. I know it would be a weird character because it is, he never even says anything. But to be like aware of like, that's who that character's name is.
I was is my memory that bad? But probably.
So what would you give this for gossip?
I'm going to give it a full 5 because also, not only is it the turning point of the movie, but it's also like at the end, they try and lie to him. They give him fake gossip and then he finds out the truth. It's all
interesting.
Whisper mill. No, I'm going to take it. I'm going to say 4.5.
4.5.
I will say 5 myself because I think, yes, there's a lot of gossip, but also I feel like it is the fear of gossip that like drives a lot of people. And that sort of like that fear of that, the sort of backlash that, is what makes people make a lot of the choices that they make. So yeah, I'm going a full 5 on this. I think gossip is a very pervasive element of this movie.
I too will give it a 5.
Wow. I can't believe I backed down.
You can go back to 5, Ellie.
Let's do it. For an average.
5.
5.
Give it 72.97. All right. Finally, this is an all or nothing category. Positive 15%. If Strictly Ballroom has a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
Well,
I don't think we can say it does.
It doesn't really portray homosexuality, which again is surprising given the world that we are in.
Yes.
If I wanted to make an argument, I could say the first thing you see is men high-fiving each other. And as we know,
there's nothing more homosexual than that.
Yeah,
they're doing it on a silk screen. I mean, I can't in good faith give this the endorsement.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think we are all agreed that this unfortunately does not get the positive portrayal of homosexuality bonus.
Do you think if this movie had been made in America?
I think if it was made today, it maybe would have.
Yeah.
Have a gay element to it.
But maybe ballroom dancing is like not, like, can men dance together in ballroom dancing?
Didn't they they did that on Dancing with the Stars, I think. I think they've done that already.
Oh yeah, what's his name? The...
Good.
Love Simon. Did Love Simon dance with Love Victor?
We did it. Love Simon.
Love Simon. And then finally, -50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
You know what? This isn't the movie Boat Trip.
This isn't the movie Boat Trip. What the hell?
Oh,
hold
again,
on.
It's not, you know, Teen Witch. It's not Boat Trip.
Teen Witch, that was it. All right. Very good. Well, how do you think you did?
I think I did really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Mark, tell us how we did.
I think I did better than I thought I was going to do.
Well, you had some help from the sketchy wheel. So out of a total possible 2,530.22 points, Strictly Ballroom has scored 1,989.56, giving it a percentage of 78.63, making it the third gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Grease 2, but gayer than Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born.
Oh, my God. Oh my god!
Ellie, congratulations!
You came within striking distance.
I'm like
the top three. That's pretty good.
That's pretty great.
You got a bronze medal.
I'm feeling fantastic. I'm like full of adrenaline right now.
Wonderful. That's, and you know, what more can we ask for in this day and age?
Nope. Nothing less, nothing less, nothing more.
Well,
less is more.
That's what they say. Well, thank you so much for, you did it. You,
yes, Allie, congratulations.
This was your goal. You did it.
I hope you feel good. You should feel good about yourself.
I'm a really big fan. I really am happy that, of you two. And I'm really happy that I came in with a movie that I loved. And I was, and then I was worried that it wasn't going to be good enough. And now here we are.
And exactly. Now here we are. Top three.
We are.
Well, is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Yes. There's a new show out on Facebook starring Miss Kiki Palmer, and I haven't seen it yet, but I think it's going to be really great. It came out on 720. Check that out. And then, you know.
Does it have a name?
It's called Turned Up with the Taylors.
Turned Up with the Taylors.
Just in general, I would just say, like, I want to plug all the Twitters that are talking and explaining about defunding the police better. You know, just instead of plugging my Twitter, I would encourage you to diversify your media.
Do you have any recommendations?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to follow the three women who created the Black Lives Matter movement.
Great.
Or depending on your point of view. And then I'm really into plants. Like, I love plants. And there are a number of Black botanists that are rising to
very cool.
Wow.
Prominence on Instagram. So if you follow the hashtag Black Botany, you'll find some great people.
That sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much, Ellie. You were a true delight. So nice to connect with you over a very divisive movie.
I don't think it's divisive.
It's the most controversial movie we've seen in years.
Is it going to be okay?
I'm great. I feel energized.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm ready to paint the house.
Yeah.
I just also want to say one thing. My computer hasn't been plugged in, and I am at 2% battery power right now. So
great.
Okay. All right.
And then...
We'll be right back. We're back.
Wow, that was great. So exciting.
That was fun. Thank God I was there to hold back the tide.
I'm sad. It honestly is sad to me that I mean, I get that you don't like it and I don't think you're ridiculous, but it this movie does weirdly bring me so much joy that it is sad to me.
I'm happy, like, for you.
I'm not saying you're not happy, and I'm not saying you're being mean or like you're being ridiculous. I think you just don't like it, but it's one of those things where, like, I find so much of it, as absurd as it is, so much of it so joyful that I wish you could experience joy, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's either if you don't experience joy through Strictly Ballroom, you don't get it anywhere else.
It doesn't really
else.
Happen.
That's what
yeah,
they
yeah.
say.
There's no way. It's not as good. Everyone sort of acknowledges,
like,
that.
Can't even say I don't think it's a bad movie by any means. Mm-hmm. It's just
Do you like Baz Luhrmann as a director in general, do you think?
I do. I love, like, Moulin Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because, like, the music is so amazing. I love the music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. It's great. It is a lot of fun.
And that, yeah, I don't know. I just, I do. I guess what else? I haven't seen Romeo and Juliet. I did not like Australia. And I think
it's
parts of Great Gatsby.
Okay. Great Gatsby, I thought, like, the set pieces were impressive, but when it was like a scene with just two or three people, it was like you could tell he wasn't as interested.
He was
in
bored. But yeah. He's shooting this, an Elvis biopic right now, which should be fun, with Tom Hanks as Colonel Tom Parker.
Okay.
Which I'm very excited to see his take on, like, Americana.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I think he's undeniably sort of talented. I just, he hasn't necessarily made a million movies I love.
Gotcha.
He's I think Paul Verhoeven.
His instinct for excess, I think, will fits along with Elvis well, I think.
Especially if it's that 70s period.
Oh, I mean, forget
show
that.
Us that 70s period. That's all. I don't care about Sun Records, Dusty. Give me the glitz and glamour and bloated 70s.
I want a peanut butter
Vegas.
And banana sandwich, yes.
I want to shoot a TV.
Mm. Well, speaking of
shooting off emails, maybe.
There we go. Oh, okay. That's a good one. All right. Good. We've got a review from on Apple Music, iTunes. I'm not sure what it's called anymore. Anyway, it's
iTunes.
From. Okay, great. iTunes. From Renegade says, are you a lunatic? Gives us 5 stars. Says, if you don't listen to this podcast, the spreadsheet confirms you are one mimosa short of a brunch. This is the funniest podcast, and it makes my commute a lot easier every Wednesday.
Well, I believe that's my brother.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's biased. He maintains the spreadsheet. He'll often fix the spreadsheet while we are recording. And I send him a message while we're recording, like, hey, the ranking isn't working. Because like Female Trouble broke the spreadsheet. Appropriately enough, I think.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So he was able to fix it while we were recording.
Wow.
Well, see, thank you so much, Mike. And I know he's still working hard. He works for Home Depot. So they're like distributing a lot of PPE right now. So he's been very busy doing that.
That's good.
We do want to do a quick announcement about our upcoming series for August. It's going to be 4 weeks.
4 weeks, four episodes.
We're kind of changing things up just a little.
Just a tiny.
We're calling it Queen's Choice.
Yes.
John and I are going to pick two movies each. John's going to be up first, and we're bringing back returning guests.
We're going to bring back old guests. So I wanted to bring back two of our guests who are delightful, but whose movies are very low on the scale, and like give them a chance to sort of redeem themselves in somewhat. So while we'll be watching, next week we'll be watching Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with Beatles fan Will Hines and Pam Murphy. We'll both be coming back.
Do you feel like Sgt. Pepper, are you bringing in a movie you feel will score highly?
I think it will do better than the movies they brought in. I think Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
That's not saying much.
That is true. It's very campy and very ridiculous. It's also like a musical, so that'll help. And I know that Will is a big fan of the Beatles. That's one of his big podcasts. So I thought like, oh, this would be a fun overlap.
You always hear Beatles fans raving about the movie version of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club
Band. None of them
do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh,
did you catch up on that?
I didn't catch it. Sorry.
So we'll see where we're at. If you had to make a prediction of where it's going to fall, what would you say if you had to give it a number?
I mean,
no one's more qualified for this than
that's true. It could be the lower top 10, but I think it'll be the top 20 at least.
The top 20.
At least I think the current top 20 at least.
You're like a 1 in 3 odds. You're
cautious,
but you're still ready to
have optimistic. Some fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen the movie?
I haven't.
All right.
I've only heard it's terrible. But I'm going in with an open mind, as I always do.
Thank you. Oh, such a hero.
I'll be a martyr. Awesome. So yeah. So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be fun, huh?
Yeah,
something different.
Some of our favorite guests are coming back to talk about more movies. You guys are going to love it.
All right. You can follow us Twitter and Instagram at @2oldqueens, @TWOldQueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the ranking system. You can look at it with your own eyes and see what guests did what movie and what the category they had, what percentage they have. And it's nice and pretty.
You can also leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Music, or you can email us at @2oldqueens, @TWOldQueens, and let us know what you think and stuff.
All right. We'll see you next time for Queen's Choice.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.